Good morning and welcome to St Peter's Eaton Square. My name is Ralph Williamson, I'm the vicar, and it's very unusual for us to be sharing a Sunday morning service, not in the church or even from the church, but today from my office, which is the place where I will be sharing services from in the weeks to come. Yesterday we received, or on Friday night, we received an instruction that we're no longer to use churches for our worship. And so Reverend Julie and I have decided that we will take turns in sharing Sunday worship and other acts of worship during Holy Week and Easter from our own homes or offices. We hope that you will enjoy being with us in these times of prayer and worship. This is a time for us to stand together as a people, as a community, as the people of God and as a church. And it's very important that we recognise that what we're doing this morning in sharing worship from a space which is not our normal place of worship is an act of fellowship and an act of togetherness with the people with whom we stand at this time of great challenge and great need. We hope that you'll join our prayers and your actions with ours in working for the good of all during this time of real challenge. Today's service, then, is a service of morning prayer, a service of the Word. There will be prayers and a sermon at the end of this service, and I hope that you will not get too bored of listening to my voice all the way through. Let us pray. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." I invite you to turn to God with me in the quiet of your own hearts. Lord God, we have sinned against you, and we have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord God, our Creator and Redeemer. To you be glory and praise for ever. From the waters of chaos you drew forth the world, and in your great love fashioned us in your image. Now, through the deep waters of death, you have brought your people to new birth by raising your Son to life in triumph. May Christ, your light, ever dawn in our hearts as we offer you our sacrifice of thanks and praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God for ever. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and for ever. Amen. Today's psalm is Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication. If you, Lord, were to mark what is done amiss, O Lord, who could stand? but there is forgiveness with you, so that you shall be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits for him, in his word is my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the night watch for the morning, more than the night watch for the morning. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all their sins. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, in the 37th chapter, the story of the Valley of Bones. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone on its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves, and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Old Testament Canticle from the book of the prophet Isaiah, a song of the covenant. I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness. Thus says God, who created the heavens, who fashioned the earth and all that dwells in it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, and I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the captives from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. I have given you as a light to the nations, and I have called you in righteousness. The New Testament reading is the Gospel reading set for today for the principal reading and principal service on the fifth Sunday of Lent. It's the story of Jesus meeting Martha and Mary after the death of Lazarus in Bethany. John's Gospel, chapter 11. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Martha and her sister Mary. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. After this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying that, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and he is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upwards and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, and Christ shall give you light. When Christ our life appears, you will appear with him in glory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. The Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that I've never preached on a sadder day than this one. As the change of the clocks this morning reminds us, the world is turning into the light of spring, and as the natural order all around us bursts into rather blustery life, we hold our breath, try to keep one another safe, and we wait for the peak of infections to pass. We wait for signs of hope and signs of deliverance. I'm aware that the coming week will be a very difficult and a very sad one, and that Holy Week will probably be even sadder. Easter Sunday, when it comes, will be sombre, and we will celebrate the resurrection in our hearts and wait with Christian hope to see it in the life of our world and its peoples, when recovery comes and life can return again. Until then, so much will be required of so many, and especially those who will be staffing our hospitals and makeshift medical facilities. We have always known in this country how much we owe to our often overworked and not very well rewarded health workers, carers, doctors and nurses, but now we look at them as human signs of grace and mercy, as they work with dedication to protect the lives of the innocent victims of this virus. We can only hope that after this has passed, there will be a new order where they and others, on whose work we most depend, including care workers, teachers, emergency services, and waste disposal workers, will be properly rewarded. what kind of order will be left after this? What kind of economic situation is, of course, anyone's guess. But we pray that it will be a kinder order, a juster order, a way of living together which is closer to Christ's kingdom, the kingdom he came to bring. And I think that advocating for this and working for this will be one of the important tasks of Christians in the months ahead. For the church, there is a profound feeling of impotence as we are a congregation, and what we do naturally is to congregate with one another. We get together, we help one another, and we encourage each other by being together. And now congregating is, of course, not possible. We are grateful for small mercies and for great mercies. And we're thankful, of course, for the internet, which has made such a vast difference and will be a lifeline for many of us in coming weeks. Thank you all for doing what you can to care for one another. When we are faced with a situation as appalling as this, the question which people naturally ask, people who faced with any kind of catastrophe, disaster, plague or desolation, the question we ask is, where is God in all of this? This, I think, is the question which all people have asked since the beginning of time, a question which all religions have also tried to answer. And the Bible is a patchwork of texts which try to address that question, both in the desolation of individual life and in the life of the nation or the people. For the people of Israel, slavery in Egypt, conquest of the northern kingdom of Israel by the Assyrians, the conquest of the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem itself by the Babylonians, which led to exile for 40 years by the rivers of Babylon. These were the big events which triggered the collection of biblical texts, which tries to answer this question, where is God in all of this suffering? The answer which the Old Testament gave to the problem of suffering was that God was punishing his people for their sin, but would then forgive and restore them. In the reading we heard from Ezekiel, the dry bones of God's people were told that they would come together once more and would be established again as a new people, that God would put his spirit in them so that they might this time obey him and return to their own land. Yet, even after that had happened, there was still more suffering for them to come in the turmoil of empires and in the destruction that often went with it. And at the end of the Old Testament, there's a slight confusion, but also a tentative looking upwards, a looking forward for a fresh answer towards the hope of a Messiah, a Saviour, who might come and make it all right. Out of that collection of texts at the end of the Old Testament period came the hope that we know in Jesus. Jesus was that Messiah, but he was not what people had expected. He rode into Jerusalem not on a charger at the head of a victorious army, but rather on a donkey in humility. He didn't triumph over his enemies, but rather he wept at the loss of his friend Lazarus. Jesus himself is the New Testament and the Church's answer to the question, where is God in suffering? When we cannot help but ask, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? The only way we as Christians can answer that question is to point to the cross of Christ. When people are suffering, God is suffering with them and suffering with us. The answer to the question of suffering is not the answer we want, just as Jesus was not the Messiah that many people wanted either. We want the suffering to stop, but the answer we are given is a spiritual answer and not a physical one. It seems that God cannot change the world, whatever the Christian theology of that is. Divine being didn't make it as a sanitized perfection, a sort of display case of exquisite things which don't interact or decay. The world, rather, with its faulty but extraordinary and ever-learning humanity and its beautiful and brutal nature, goes on. There has always been suffering and loss, and this year the world weeps and God weeps too, and we hold on to one another physically or digitally by whatever means we can until the darkness turns to light once again. As we do so, we remember that life is also spiritual, that material things are precious but they lead us towards a life of the Spirit, an inner life. God came to share our physical life so that we might share the spiritual life of eternity, and we wait for the dawning of the resurrection, which is the sign and promise of his love for us and for all that he has made for all of eternity. God's life in ours and ours in God. We can no longer act this out in the sacraments of baptism or in the Eucharist, but we will do this again as soon as it is safe. But the actions of the Church don't ever change the nature of God, who holds all things in his love, including both life and death. We will weep with him. We will believe in the promise of eternal life. And just as Jesus gave comfort to Martha and Mary at the loss of their dear brother, we will draw on his love and compassion to support each other through these difficult times. Let us pray. May we not be people of fear, but people of courage. May we not be people who protect our own safety, but people who protect our neighbours' safety. May we not be people of greed, but people of generosity. We are your people, God. May we be like you, giving and loving, wherever we are, whatever it costs, for as long as it takes, wherever you call us. Amen. The Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. The Collect for the fifth Sunday of Lent. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Let us pray to God, who alone makes us dwell in safety. For all who are affected by coronavirus through illness, isolation, or anxiety, for all who are on our hearts, and for all for whom we are concerned, for our church and school community at St. Peter's, and for all our neighbours, for the vulnerable in every land, that they may find relief and recovery, Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For those who are guiding our nation at this time and shaping national policies, that they may make wise decisions. For those supplying the things which others need and who are working to keep others safe, that they may be protected from harm. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For doctors, nurses and medical researchers, that through their skill, dedication and insights, many will be restored to health. For soldiers, police officers, carers and all volunteers, for all who are offering their lives in service to others, that they may have grace to care and to save. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. For the vulnerable and the fearful, for the gravely ill and the dying, for the bereaved and the despairing, that they may know your comfort and peace. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless us and preserve us from all evil and keep us in eternal life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you and all those you love, now and for ever. Amen. I wish you a safe and healthy Sunday, and we look forward to sharing more worship with you in the days and weeks ahead. And from Reverend Julie and from myself and all those who live here at St Peter's Eaton Square, we send you our very best wishes for the days ahead. Please do contact us here and see our information on all the social media sites which are available to you. Thank you.